provide productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
This station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. We're back. It's 2014. You're listening to the Business Bunker show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly hungover Jules Serkin.
Tubby, you were going to say, weren't you?
Yeah. How you doing, sweetie?
Well, we haven't all lost a pound.
I lost a pound over Christmas. How much did you lose?
Oh, I lost...
you lost your marbles?
Yeah.
You lost the plot?
Look, Paul, I don't go into Christmas aiming to lose weight.
Do you not?
No, I don't. I go in, as you know, I'm
all guns blazing.
I'm a woman of excess. You've been out with me.
I'm saying nothing. When I arrived this morning, there was a box outside full of empty Carver bottles.
They weren't mine.
And I thought, Jules has been here already. And then she's waving a box of chocolates at me. No, thank you.
Well, on my show... which is a superior show, listener.
Is it?
11 to 12 every Tuesday, the Scoff and Quaff show.
Is it any good?
Oh, it's a fantastic show. Well, we had a secret chef.
Did you?
I'm telling you about this because you've got lots of business listeners. Now, Harry Covert.
Oh, I know
on
Harry.
The Twitter. Mm. He's Mr. Harry, HARRY COVERT. And he's a secret chef, Paul Andrews.
Mm.
Now, he was flooded out of his house in Yalding. It's very sad. Mm. And I've eaten and scoffed on many an occasion in his abode. But, of course, he's now abodeless.
Yeah.
So what he's looking for is any venues where he can do a meal for sort of 12 to 14. And if you contact him or contact at Scoff Quaff, and we'll put you in touch, at Mr. Harry Covert, he will do this lovely meal and you get two free places. So great
fabulous.
For corporate, isn't it?
Yeah, no, fabulous. He's a fabulous cook as well. I have eaten his food. So he'll do a meal for 12?
Yeah.
Or for you?
Well.
Same thing, really, yeah.
No, I think you're just going to be bumptious, aren't you? The thing is, I have a sugar high, Paul, so anything you can say, I can
are you
treble.
In a rush? Yeah.
Yeah. I've also had a Barocca as well.
Uh-oh.
There's no chance.
A Barocca.
But also on the show, the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, we had Sally, who is Sylvia and Terry Fine Kentish Chocolates, and she's left us with homemade macaroons, lovely little salted caramel truffly things, and coconut bars, which our guests... Mandy and Paul are going to be scoffing throughout the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Result.
And no doubt you won't have one because you're on a diet.
No, I won't. You're right.
One will not pass your lips.
Exactly. Exactly right.
I once went out with a girl who was awful. She used to chew the chocolate and then spit it in a bin.
Why?
Because she didn't want to put on weight. So she'd chew it and
horrible.
Then spit it. I know.
That's horrible.
Not nice.
Anyway, enough of that. Enough of your nonsense and
who's
your silly
sponsor?
Show. Yeah. Huh?
Who's our sponsor?
I'm just going to tell you, and don't wave that banana at me.
this is my clue.
Today's show is sponsored by Fruit Bowl Media over there at Fruitworks at 77 Stour Street in Canterbury. And Fruit Bowl Media are designers, developers of cost-effective startup and small business websites. So thank you to Fruit Bowl Media for today's sponsorship.
They just have to look at scoffquaff.co.uk.
They do, yeah.
They did mine.
Yeah, Fruit Bowl designed Scoff and Quaff website, did they not? Yeah, and a very good job they did too.
I know.
Brilliant. Can you stop banging cutlery and crockery about?
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Tucking in.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, James Garden's on the Twitter, look, already.
Is he? We've had loads of tweets. I want to start reading some of them, but I have to give you a bit of background to some of the early ones.
Yeah.
Coming up on January the 24th is the B2B Southeast show at the Effingham Park Hotel, Copthorne, near Gatwick. And a number of people have been tweeting their stand numbers. So they're exhibiting in the show. It's free entry, free car parking, free seminars, free networking, all that kind of stuff. And we've had some tweets. We've had a tweet from Carl Sadecki, S-A-D-E-C-K-I, Carl underscore Sadecki. And he says, we will be on stand 84. And we are Jellyfish Agency. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Jellyfish Agency. Or you can go along and say hello to them on stand 84 at the B2B Southeast show.
Now, you know, Paul Andrews, if they were in Spain, they would be Medusa Agency.
Would they?
Medusa, yeah.
Medusa.
Medusa.
And they would be that. Why? Go on, as if I didn't know.
Because it's jellyfish.
Because that's Spanish for
donkey. Because I've been stuck. It's not donkey. That's eshak, isn't it? Or that's Turkish.
That's Turkish for donkey. You fool. Any fool knows that.
Talking of that, I've been reading through my Christmas holidays Tales from Turkey.
Have you really?
By the Josie Maguire.
Have you?
Lovely.
Are you enjoying?
And eating her bay leaves, fresh from her tree.
Cool. Good stuff. We've also had tweets from R. Torbal Photography.
Oh, yes.
That's Richard. Mm. And his Twitter handle is R. Torbal, T-O-R-B-L-E, photo, all one word, R. Torbal Photo, all one word.
Very good photographer.
Is he? I don't know him. He's only recently started following me on Twitter. And,
well, who can blame him?
And he says, good morning, Paul. My boiler's blown up.
Oh, he needs Samsung gas, doesn't he?
So, yeah. he needs Danny Tickner from Samsung Gas. Yeah. No, but apparently he's got boiler problems, so he's sitting in the cold listening to the Business Bunker. So hopefully you'll warm him up, Jules.
Talking of boilers, I had a fabulous turkey at Christmas. I sort of, I forked out.
Run that link past me again.
You know, boilers.
I see. Okay, yeah.
You simmer a little chicken soup. Yeah. But, you know, when you buy your old scrag end, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You used to do that in the East End, didn't you, buy a scrag end every
weekend? I'm not from the East End. I told you I'm not from the East End. I'm from West London. I'm from the cultured end.
I'm not so sure. Yeah. I've seen you on the markets. But anyway.
I'm good at markets. Yeah. Come on, love.
Have one.
Not a pound. Not 75p. To you, £3.
I bought the best turkey I've ever had, talking of old boilers. And I forked out my new husband. Mm. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at Frontier Funds, doing his world tour, writing a book. But he nearly fell off the chair when I told him how much it cost. But it was a Riverford Organic, beautiful turkey, Paul Andrews, and it was divine. It was worth every penny.
Was it?
I've ordered one for next year.
But did Gavin agree that it was worth every penny?
Yeah, he did
penny.
Eventually, when he...
when he was in Burma and couldn't get his hands on you.
But I put it through the Scoff-Coff account.
That's all right then. We've also had tweets in from JM at Squared Frames, who they're listening in and looking forward to the show. Thank you.
Now, what are they? Are they glasses or framers, or do we know?
Let me try and find out. Let's have a see.
And
what
while
we
you look, we've
bespoke
got...
Bespoke picture framing.
That was quick.
Yeah. So, Squared Frames, bespoke picture framing. Hold on. They're in Whitstable.
Oh, I'll be able to pop in and see them. I can write about them in my column. If you email me, jules@pressupgroup.com, I'll pop you in my Whitstable column.
Cool. Smart Media FX also listening into the show, as are F Keys over there in the Rochester Medway City Estate.
And the lovely Brand is listening in, Echo Media.
You're reading from the top of the list again. You do that every week.
The thing that worries me about Echo Media is when it's that, I'm not sure it is the lovely Brand. I think it might be in one of the underlings tweeting.
Oh, we couldn't have that, could we?
No.
They wouldn't understand your New Zealand references, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Fish and Chips, if you're listening. Creative Motion, have you said them?
No, I'm going to do something on Creative Motion in a moment, so don't read that from the top of the list.
Happy New Year, they say. I could say that bit.
I'll tell you what, read it from the top of the list.
AK Pet Service. No, you've told me not to. I daren't. AK Pet Services, the lovely Adrian Kearney, says, listening to Paul and Jules, Happy New Year. Listening in live. Probably got a little parrot on his shoulder, as he does. Venom Tech, thank you for my Christmas card, boys.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank you for my card, too.
And the picture of that awful creature I'm going to give you soon that they sent me.
They've
got me a poisonous thing to give you.
Yeah, no, actually, I'll get all my presents for you from them.
nice.
Bravo Translations have just tweeted that they are on stand number 11 at the B2B Southeast show. And they will be next door. Wait for this. This is amazing. They will be next door to stand number 10.
That's unusual.
And on stand number 10 is the Inkerman Group, who are pre-employee screening. So that's Bravo on stand 11 and Inkerman Group on stand 10. Good stuff.
Len Liz is saying Happy New Year, listening in. That's at Len Liz.
Is that the furniture store in Roper Road, Canterbury?
They have a winter sale on.
Did I? Is Dennis still there? Head of Beds?
Head of Beds.
Is he
there,
really?
Yeah, telling you about Vyspring.
Dennis Brophy, eh?
Did you know they have the largest range of beds throughout Kent, Paul Andrews?
No, I didn't know that.
No.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, Dennis.
They've got some lovely Harris Tweed sofas in there with leather piping.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
S&T Chocolates, well, we've got those in the studio. S&T Chocolates, Sylvia, listening in. Business Bunker, hello to you. We'll be scoffing.
Cool. We've had Business Community Breakfast, Alex Waterson. Oh, Beaujolais Boy's been on.
Oh.
Haven't heard from you for ages, Ian.
Well, he's come out of his little Christmas
Beaujolais Boy, that's Liquid Pleasure, the Superior Wine Emporium over there in Tenterton High Street.
Did you get floods?
Did I get floods?
In Tenterton.
Yeah, yeah. No, Tenterton's been burning down recently. We had a chain of shops go up in flames on bonfire night, and then over Christmas, Prezzo's caught fire as well. So
Prezzo's?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's no bad thing. It's a chain.
Yeah. But, no, so we haven't been wet as so much as on fire. We could have been done with being wet rather than
to
on fire.
To put the fire out.
Yeah. But my garden's been flooded.
Oh, again. Mm. You know what you need to do? You need to get a fork and aerate it, Paul Andrews. Do you know about that?
Aerating
things?
Didn't
know I knew
about
gardening.
That's what you did.
No.
You aerate me.
I know. Well, only when I want a froth a latte. But, no, you get your little fork, get your wellies on, and get your barber jacket on, perhaps a little hat, and then you go around your whole lawn, and you put your foot on the fork and just put four holes in and keep going through the whole thing to aerate it.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Get the worms up.
Sounds good to me. Right, I want to come to Creative Motion, who are the video people. And you will recall that the show, the Christmas special show before the break, we had Justin Dean from Creative Motion on the show.
We did.
And he announced a competition. And he has just texted me the winner.
Wow, I'd forgotten all about that. I didn't enter.
Yeah. And the competition was to win a Talking Head video shot. Shoot.
That was right.
That would be the word, won't it?
Yeah.
For someone that won a competition, and he's just told me who that is.
Oh, hang on. Drum roll.
Da-da-da-da. So, he asked the lovely Hayley to pick a name from the hat of all the people that entered, and the winner is Sally Laker.
Sally Laker.
And Sally
for
wants
cakes.
To do, yeah, but it wasn't for Sally for Cakes that she wants to do the video.
Oh.
If you recall, Sally is organising a Kent Deaf Children's Society football team.
Yeah.
And she wants to do the marketing video for that.
That's a brilliant idea,
so Sally. So Sally has won the competition. Well done, Sally. Sally for Cakes on the Twitter. But it's for the Kent Deaf Children's Society football team that are starting fairly soon in Whitstable. We've got an email about that we're going to read later. So I will be in contact with Sally and give her the contact details so that she can contact Justin Dean from Creative Motion and get herself videoed.
You know what they say, Justin? Never work with animals or children.
Yeah, or however, technology.
However.
Or people killed Jules.
People will probably, Sally will probably bring in a nice slice of lemon cake for you, Justin, if you're...
That would be your one weakness, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that is my one weakness.
Okay. I've got an email here that I want to read.
Yeah.
We are a group of dedicated parents and professionals who all have children on the autism spectrum or work with children on the autism spectrum. We are in the early stages of applying to set up a free school in Swale, which will take children from across the whole of Kent and Medway. Aspire will be specifically aimed at children with high-functioning autism or Asperger syndrome. This is an exciting opportunity which is gaining momentum every day. The hope is that the school will be up and running by September 2015. Our vision is that Aspire School will be a place where children can feel safe, understood and valued for who they are. Within the school, equal importance will be placed on the emotional, social and academic development of each child. Great importance will also be placed on the sensory needs of the children, working to keep anxiety low and children happy, so that everyone can reach their full potential and flourish in life. The new school will take children from ages 4 to 16 initially, with the hope of extending this to 19 years of age at a later date. We will cater for both children with and without a statement of SEN. Having the community at the heart of what we are doing, we are already running a very successful parent group locally called Friends of Aspire. This will be continued as at Aspire School, empowering parents and carers. Anyone who would like more information can go to Aspire's Facebook page or the Twitter account. And the Twitter account is at School Swale, all one word, School Swale. Or you can visit their website, which is www.aspirefreeschool.com. That's aspirefreeschool.com. A vital part of our project is showing a local need for a school like Aspire. Thus, there is a survey that parents and carers can complete. What I've done, there's a SurveyMonkey survey, and I've actually put the survey link on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website on our community pages page. So at the bottom there, there are two surveys, and one is a survey if you are a parent or a carer of a child with autism or Asperger's and you'd like to take part in the survey. And the second survey is for professionals who work with children on the autism spectrum. So there are two surveys there on the community page on the Kent Business Radio website, and they are both clearly marked which is which. So please, if you do have some views on either of those issues, please do go and fill that in. And we wish much success to the Aspire Free School in Swale, and we hope they get up and running for September 2015. I think you can do an email,
that's
Jules.
A brilliant idea, isn't it? Well done. Right, there's a. Do I have to do this in a Scottish accent? There's a Hogmanay, no, a Burns night supper. £25 a person, warm cabbage, apple and black pudding salad, cock a leaky tart, traditional haggis with neeps and tatties and a whiskey sauce.
I tell you what, you could even do it in a Scottish accent.
Cranachan cheesecake. And also Dundee bread and butter pudding. Isn't it like Dr. Kildare?
That's Klingon. That's Klingon, that is.
Is it Dr. Kildare?
No, that was nothing like Dr. Kildare.
Janet!
And that's not Dr. Kildare either. That was Dr. Finlay.
Oh, well, someone in the...
Dr. Finlay's guest book.
So you're so old. I was just a mere nip when they were on.
Yeah.
This is at the Bistro with the lovely Ruth Denzi at Hagelands Village.
Oh, he's not Scottish.
01303873636. I'm guessing that number because I haven't got my glasses out of my bag. But it's the Bistro, Hagelands Village, for a Burns night supper on the 25th of January. So the BBC will be on the phone waiting to sign me up now for, you know,
for
some
their comedy,
play.
Their comedy hour. Yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to do a bit of tunage.
Tunage?
Yeah, a bit of fame.
Oh, lovely.
You ain't seen. Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back. Bit of fame there. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 7th of January, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly lovely Jill Serkin.
You can peel off your leg warmers after that song.
Yeah, did you like my dancing?
I did, yeah, but it's just getting you back up off the floor after the splits that I found difficult.
Yeah, yeah, it was, at my age, it's not a good. It is not good, is it?
Not a good look, but Rob Govicinity enjoyed it.
Did he?
Over there in Rob Parker, yes, over there beavering away in Canterbury.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
Again.
Right, we've got loads of things going off here. We've got hundreds of tweets and loads of emails and all kinds of things. But actually, what I want to do next is talk to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mandy Hare. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Jules.
Hello.
Hello, Paul. Paul's
Yeah,
Jules.
We're all called Paul in here, Paul's so just make
Jules.
It easier.
I'm going to change my name to
Mandy, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Just a little bit about you. We're going to... God, I've just seen the rain out there. Have you seen the rain out there? It's unbelievable. I think the sea just came in. Mandy was general manager of the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone for quite a long time.
Oh, and you let me do that Scottish accent, and she was from the Hazlitt Theatre.
Exactly. Didn't you know that?
Oh, no.
And she's recently launched her own business, MacGuffin.
That is very true. Yeah. Actually, on the 9th of December.
So it's
perfectly
very...
good time to launch a business.
Yeah. Just in time for
very
the Christmas
sensible,
party.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Great timing. No, because you're ready for the start of the new year, which is brilliant,
brilliant.
So tell the listeners a little bit about your background first, and then what's got you to the point of launching your own business and what you want to do with it.
Certainly. Well, I mean, I could go a very, very, very long way back, but I'm imagining that's probably not going to be very interesting
on
to
anybody.
On the seventh
day.
Yes. When I was born. But I have always wanted to work in the theatre and the performing arts, so it hasn't ever, it wasn't something that I came to late. I came to extremely early and went to drama school and did all those things and spent many a happy year in the West End doing sound for West End musicals and what have you. So I've got the Cats and the Phantoms and the Les Mises and what have you. And I did that
Funnily enough, not the last show we did, but the show before that, we had Anna Daniels on, who was actually in the cast of...
Cats.
No.
Les Mis.
No.
Phantom of the Opera.
You know exactly what... No, Wicked. Starlight Express.
Starlight Express. Oh, okay.
Roller skates.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
Fantastic. No, I did a bit of... Actually, one of my first sound jobs was on Starlight Express, and I was doing the tape operating for it, because at that time it was long pre-digital, and we actually had, you know, we had to press a button with those old 8-track cartridges.
Oh, right, okay.
Save us. I'm saving us from making this. Well, I was so old.
But the 8-tracks were amazing.
They were incredible.
They were. Whatever happened to them?
I don't know. Although I did get caught out, because I did actually manage to play the winner of one of the Starlight Express races prior to actually having started, which kind of cocked it up a bit. And it was the day that Prince Charles and then Lady Di were in, so I had to hide my head.
If you're going to go for it, go for it big
absolutely
time.
Absolutely, really make a big mess of it, yeah. But, so I did that for many years, and then decided that actually it was the whole spectrum of theatre that I wanted to get involved in, so... This job came up at the Hazlitt to be the manager down there, and that involved absolutely everything. I mean, it involved at the time it was primarily a presenting house, so sort of getting shows in and putting them on. But then we introduced quite a lot of in-house producing as well. So we did touring Summer Shakespeare, and we co-produced the pantomime, and started up an incredibly successful youth theatre, which did a lot of in-house productions, and so it gave me the opportunity, really, sort of year on year, to just expand and develop the kind of work that we were doing.
I was going to say, it's quite a different proposition from working in the West End to working in a provincial theatre. I'm assuming, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in a way, there are similarities, in as much as the great thing, and it sounds incredibly trite, but the great thing about working in one of those vocational type of businesses, I'm sure everybody would say the same, is that everybody has that one aim. So if you're doing a show in the West End, then you get there, and everybody is geared towards making that as successful as possible. And for the however many thousand or hundreds of people that are there on the day, it's special. That's a unique experience. The same words may be spoken and the same notes may be sung, but actually it's a little tiny group of people who have had a unique experience, because that reaction will always be slightly different between that, with that relationship with the audience. And similarly, when you're working in the provincial theatre, you have the exact same, people are motivated in the same way. And in many respects, you get more artistic and creative freedom, because you can decide what it is that you really want to do. And if you can get a bit of backing behind you, somebody saying, oh, yeah, all right, then, OK, we'll give it a punt.
And assuming, I'm making an assumption here, in a smaller theatre, in terms of audience size, you have a closer connection to the audience as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the things that we found, because we had a lot of the big comedians used to come and do the tryouts with us at the Hazlitt in Maidstone, because for that exact reason, because they were really, really close to people, and they could gauge instantly whether a gag was going to work, whether a particular line of discussion was going to be fruitful, or whether it was a turkey. And we had situations literally where they'd be sort of reading off cards and going, yeah, okay, actually that doesn't work, okay. And so the people in Maidstone actually were sort of gearing up what was going to be at the O2 3 months later.
It was really interesting, because I actually came to a Michael McIntyre thing and it was exactly that. It was really intimate. He did a thing and he went, that was rubbish, wasn't it? And some of the front row went, yeah, and he went, no, you don't have to agree, but it was rubbish. we'll do something different. And it was but it was fascinating. Even watching him kind of build an act was funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really good. I really thoroughly enjoyed that.
How long ago was that, Paul?
Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
The last time he was there was about a year, maybe.
Yeah, it was about then. Yeah. It was about then I saw it,
The
yeah.
interesting thing with him, though, actually, is that he came to us. He'd been around for years. I mean, he sort of broke through. He was the great new thing after he'd been touring the circuit for about 11 or 12 years. Yeah. And he was with us the day before he did the Royal Variety Show. And I think we sold about 150 tickets, I think. You know, good enough, nothing too horrible. But and the following day, he literally went stratospheric. Who knows why? Suddenly, that was it. His was the one that hit, and it was amazing. So, and after that, thankfully, you know, he had a bit of a soft spot for us. So we, you know, he used to come back and do tryouts quite often. Same with Lee Evans and... Right. John Bishop was again with us.
Interesting. I know we don't want to talk about Michael McIntyre and all those comedians all the time, but I read Michael McIntyre's autobiography as well.
Oh, right.
And it was really interesting how long he was on the circuit at Jonglers and placing a comedy store and a comedy club.
Decades,
and getting hooked off night after night and not getting paid and stuff like that. And as you say, all of a sudden one day it went. I mean, reading his biography, what he said was the thing that he actually learned to do was to be himself. The thing that turned it around for him, he stopped trying too hard and just became himself. Because he was funnier being himself than he was, you know, trying to artificially create something.
Sure.
Yeah. Very popular, because he does appeal to the sort of thing you can watch with your mum or your dad. It's not too rude, not too cringy.
No.
So
just genuinely
family.
Funny. Yeah, absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Cool. Really good.
So, having been in that environment of running a small provincial theatre, and you started to make reference to this, Mandy, and I think this is, you know, where it's relevant to our business audience as well, because I'm a great fan of small businesses. I'm a great fan of business in general, but small business in particular. And one of the reasons that I like small business, and I think you may agree with this in terms of a small provincial theatre, is you get to do so many things in a small business. In a bigger organisation, you kind of get compartmentalised a little bit.
Exactly.
But
right,
in a smaller organisation, you have to do a bit of everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that in that sort of environment, unless you can actually turn your hand to everything, it's a tricky situation to be in. You kind of need to be able to do the box office, you need to be able to run the lighting desk, you certainly need to be able to do the sound, as far as I was concerned, all of those things, just so that actually when it comes to it, you have an understanding of what everybody else is dealing with. And I know that that's how all businesses start, but it's very easy to become separated from the core business and the coal face, really. And I think that's where it's exciting.
Yeah, and absolutely. And what happens, in my experience, when you do get that separation from the coal face, is that's when silly decisions start to get made that don't take into account how customers feel and how the paying public feel, because you lose that contact with them, because you don't deal with that every day.
No,
you lose that. And I think that's one of the great things about working in smaller organisations right across the board.
Absolutely, I think it's essential.
So,
yes.
You've done all of that.
Oh, yes.
And then you decided to start your own business.
I did, yes, yes. Well, there's a tale attached, and you, Paul, of course, are very familiar with that because you were instrumental in helping us.
Yes, folks, it was my fault.
It was your, basically, it's your fault. And if I'm living in a cardboard box next year, then
it's all
your
fault.
But yes, we were given an opportunity as a group of staff to take over the Haslett independently. It was run by Maidstone Borough Council, and they decided to put the theatre out to tender. Not surprisingly, it's happening all over the place. It's as for local authorities are massively strapped for cash, as we know, and culture and theatre is non-statutory, so that's going to be one of the first things that's going to come under the microscope. So yes, we were given this opportunity as part of really a kind of the big society thing, is to form an employee mutual, as we alluded to earlier, having a motivated core staff who are totally behind the theatre. Then it seemed like a no-brainer, really, not to go down that route. And we were given a significant amount of money from the Cabinet Office, in fact, right, to set up the company, the mutual company, and to put a business plan together to take over, which we did, and which you, Paul, were incredibly helpful with. And I think what we put together was a very, very robust and useful business plan. However, you can hear there's a but, yeah. There's a but heading our way. And in the end, the decision was made that it might be better to go with a commercial operator as opposed to a team of doughty individuals who committed to the progress and development of the Haslett, and that's about as bitter as I'm going to get. So that decision was made. But by that time, I'd got a bit of a taste for running my own gig, yeah, really, and thinking, oh, what would
you,
we do?
It
really
it does. Get
yeah,
to you. Yeah,
yeah. And whilst I can totally understand, you know, there's a thousand ways to skin a cat or run a theatre or any of those things, and I wanted to run things my way.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is a sign, if you like, for me to put my money where my mouth is and get out and there do it on my own. So, yeah, so MacGuffin was born, and so we decided to get off.
For those that don't know, and I suspect there's quite a few that don't know,
yeah,
tell us a little bit about the name MacGuffin.
The name MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is a plot device which draws everything together. So it is the thing that at the end of the film you go, ah, that was it. So it's the briefcase in Pulp Fiction is a right, very famous MacGuffin, and the Maltese Falcon in the Maltese Falcon.
Right.
It's that kind of thing. So it's the thing that you sort of think, oh, okay, well, what is it that's needed? What is it that's going to pull this whole thing together? And there you go. That's it. So that's what a MacGuffin is.
And that's a technical term, a MacGuffin,
yeah,
right?
Alfred Hitchcock was a great exponent of both using the MacGuffin and indeed talking about the MacGuffin. But funny enough, I was listening to the Front Row programme on Radio 4 last night, and they were using it, the MacGuffin, right, as if everybody knew what it meant. And
do you know where it originated from, what the entomology of it is?
I think it might have been Hitchcock.
Right, okay.
It might have been him that dreamt it up. But, yeah.
So, MacGuffin has been launched.
MacGuffin has been launched, yes.
And tell us a bit about what MacGuffin's going to pull together.
What MacGuffin pulls together. So MacGuffin is a little bit all things to all men,
mm-hmm,
but it's basically project management for creative businesses, small creative businesses,
sure,
primarily. But it's easiest probably if I give examples. So for at the moment, I'm working with a company who are doing a new play next year, or this year, in fact, now, this year, which is called The Trials of Oscar Wilde.
Right.
And it's about the trials, but it's using the original court transcripts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I think is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Mm.
So they've just been released, and we're working in that. We're working with Merlin Holland, who's Oscar Wilde's grandson,
right,
who's
okay,
done a lot of work. So the play is new. We've just put an application in for the Arts Council because it is new work and we're developing new work, but it's already booked into 41 venues across the whole of the UK.
Wow.
For next year, starting in May and finishing in July. So I'm working with a company called European Arts on that. And then I'm also working for the Woodville Theatre in Gravesend, doing some programming. They've got the most beautiful studio space.
Right.
And the guy who runs it is a guy called Neil Chandler, and he's created this space underneath the main auditorium.
Oh, wow.
But it's a really lovely space. It's fantastic. It's got a little gallery attached and so on. So we're going to put together a whole raft of activity, but that which will be themed. So what's in the studio will correspond with what's in the gallery, which will correspond with the film club. So the whole thing all comes together so that people can either buy, you know, a little bit or two bits or three bits or an entire package. So two sort of quite diverse things, but in a similar sort of vein. And then I've got this strange old project going on at the moment where there's quite a lot of money around actually if you look around for it, and there's a fund called the Investment and Contract Readiness Fund,
right.
And that is for arts organisations for this particular round to put themselves in a position where they are ready for an investment of over £500,000.
Right, so over half a million. And
so the fund is to help them to get to a point where they can apply for the investment, but obviously the fund, the application, has to acknowledge what it is that investment is going to be used for and recognise that it is actually a genuinely good reason for investing. And it's been really, really interesting because I've been working with a lot of quite small companies who, you know, if I had 20 grand to give away, they'd be biting my arm off.
Yeah.
The fact is that we're talking about this readiness fund is between 50 and 150,000 pounds. And you have to prove within that
you
need half a million.
Right.
And not only do you need it, but then this is how it's going to exponentially increase your income. So, and that's been an extremely interesting project. And,
I can imagine.
And it'll be equally interesting if we ever find somebody who's going to be absolutely the right person to take that forward. So
sure. So if you're an arts-based organisation out there and you're
with
in
a big idea,
desperate need of £500,000 for a big idea, you need to talk to MacGuffin.
Yeah, you do. And you need to do it very, very quickly.
So seriously, if there is anyone out there with an arts organisation that is looking at trying to get funding for a big, big project, you need to get in touch with Mandy, and I'm sure Mandy in a moment will give you some contact details of how you can do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Equally, sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but I was going to say, I mean, that's for a gigantic project, but as I've spoken about, there are sort of several other things that we're working on. If that jumps with anybody and they think, actually, just, you know, not somebody permanently, but just somebody to work with us on a particular project, let's get it through to the, you know, push it through from the beginning to the end, and then cheerio and wait till the next big thing to come along, then that's great too, because that's exactly what we're all about.
Absolutely. And you know, and I know, and quite a lot of people out there know, that Kent is actually a hotbed of creative industries.
I happen to know
wonky stats like this. There are 95,000 people employed in creative industries in Kent.
Really?
Did you know that? 95,000.
Who is wonky stats? Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Wonky Chinese stats.
There are 95,000 people in Kent employed in the creative industries, so there is a hotbed of creativity, and so anybody doing creative stuff that wants a hand needs to speak to Mandy.
Definitely do. Cool. Yeah, and remember, we're awfully close to France as well, so there's all of that international and European work that can be done as well.
Absolutely. Mandy, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we've run out of time. Give us a shout for your website, Twitter handle, Facebook page, and all that kind of stuff, and all the ways that people can get hold of you should they want to get hold of you, track you down. Find you for doing certain things.
Okay, well, the website is www.macguffin.org.uk. The email is mandy@macguffin.org.uk, and the phone number is 077 69 903 003. And we're at MacGuffin UK on the Twitter.
Fabulous, fabulous. So Maddie's website is actually on the Business Bunker Radio website and will remain there on today's show page, which is show number 155. And that link will stay there. It's actually on the front page at the moment. So if you do want to find Maddie's website, that's already there. We'll also put a link to the other details and you can follow Maddie on the Twitter. For the moment, Maddie, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Fabulous to have you on. We wish you much success. I know you're going to be successful with what you do. And we will follow that with interest. And I'm sure in a few months' time, we'll have you back on to tell us about all the massive projects you've done.
Definitely.
And I'm absolutely fascinated by the Trials of Oscar Wilde. And I really want to see how that unfolds.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really cracking. That sounds really interesting.
Good stuff.
For the moment, thank you very much, Mandy. And do feel free to stay and join us for the rest of the show.
Happy New Year to you all.
Do you know what I've just noticed, Paul?
What?
That Mandy's wearing some tartan.
Yeah.
Just a spot.
It's because it's MacGuffin.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a MacGuffin tartan.
The MacGuffin tartan, yeah.
You see, had I seen that before, I would have got much more into character.
Would you?
Yes.
Thank God you didn't, then.
Win 12 delicious vanilla cupcakes, new classes for 2014 at Quite Contrary in Tankerton. This is my haunt, actually, where I go to Sermons, the butchers, and then I nip next door to Quite Contrary for some little cakes. Sally for Cakes, our victorious winner today of the Justin Bean Prize, would like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a happy new year. And what better way than to start the new year with a competition? Win yourself 12 vanilla cupcakes, and all you have to do is email them, Sally, or contact her via the Facebook or Twitter account and tell me why you should win. And the winner will be announced on the 1st of February 2014. Only open to UK residents, and the prize can be posted. Good luck, everyone. So the email is sally@sallyforcakes.co.uk. On the Twitter, it's sallyforcakes, @sallyforcakes. Facebook, it's www.facebook.com/sally.
Number for cakes.
Number four, cakes.
How did I know that?
I don't know. It's her branding, isn't it?
That's psychic.
Branding, darling, branding.
Cool.
And vanilla. Is there a little link there with you? Vanilla for cakes.
Oh, yeah.
Vanilla at Vanilla Web.
They're talking about such things as well. I've got an email from Taywell Ice Cream.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now there's another my one weakness.
Yeah. Taywell has wins a license to list in Hong Kong's retail and trade market. After 5 months of hard work, Taywell has won approval to get listed in any retail and trade establishment in Hong Kong and will now commence shipping of 100 milliliter and 500 milliliter tubs to go into supermarkets and local retailers, as well as having its ice cream and sorbets in the territory's restaurants.
Now, do you remember back in our Hallison days when you used to go through a whole tub of licorice chocolate before you got all sort of, you know, I'm on a diety.
Yeah, but you know what I've done now? Because Alice there, because his profits went down the tubes when I stopped eating ice cream, Alice there developed a whole new product just for me.
Sugar-free.
Which is sugar-free, low-calorie ice cream.
Is it sugar-free or is it free of sugar?
No, it's sugar-free and very low-calorie.
Is it free of sugar?
It's Nosh, it's called.
Yeah, I think it's no added sugar.
Yeah, it's called Nosh. The brand name is Nosh. It's Taywell ice cream. It's got virtually no calories in it at all. And does it in strawberry and chocolate, and it's cracking.
I know, and we had it, we scoffed it. I did a little belated birthday party for you, didn't I?
You did indeed.
On the slopes, and we scoffed a tub each, didn't we?
We did indeed.
Yeah, we were the prototype people, weren't we?
We were something like that. Well, I don't, were we prototypes?
Well, we were trying out his prototype or something.
I don't think that's the right...
Guinea pigs.
Yeah, probably, guinea pigs, I think is
you,
a...
You were a guinea pig.
Yeah.
Have you heard my guinea pig impression?
It's good, the Scottish one.
It's really good.
Yeah, that really is good.
I'm delighted, Paul Andrews, to invite you to the launch of the Kent Healthy Business Awards, Wednesday the 22nd of January, 9 to 12:30 at the Channel Suite at the Leascliffe Hall in Folkestone. And the guest speaker is Dame Carol Black, DBE FRCP, very important lady.
Blimey.
National lead for health at work. And also Kevin Crawley, who's got lots of letters after his name. I couldn't possibly read them all. And he is EHS director of Saint-Gobain, the general delegation UK, Ireland and South Africa. And also Andrew Scott Clark, director of health improvement for Kent. Jane Healy, Chief EHO, Tunbridge and Westmorling District Council. Good Practice in Kent, Tillmanstone Salads, and Lynn Marchant, who's Kent Mindful Employer. So great, great lineup there. Registration is 8:30, and there's a networking brunch, 11:30 to 12:30. And you need to contact Tracy Reynolds. I'll read out a phone number. Get your pen ready. And there's an email. And let's give you the website, which is leascliffhall.co.uk, corporate-hire-location. And Tracy's phone number to book is 01303 270022. And that is on the 22nd of January at the Leascliff Hall. Fabulous. Brilliant lineup.
I've had a rather lovely tweet, which
have
I want
done?
To read you. Yeah,
it's about you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And not me.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Is no, it's your lady friend.
No. Well, she is a lady and she is a friend, but not in the way that you're trying to impute.
Okay.
It's from Rachel Elcombe. You may remember Rachel. She was on the show a few months ago.
Yeah.
And she says, "Hello, Vanilla Web, that's me.
Without me.
My New Year's resolution is to listen to the Business Bunker show every week in the office."
Oh.
That's nice,
now,
isn't it?
Does she mean live or listen again?
Well, I don't care. I don't mind. She can listen whenever and however she wants.
Well, you're very welcome, Rachel, even though you didn't mention me.
And Rachel is based at the University of Canterbury, up there on the hill at Canterbury. So thank you for that, Rachel. I also want to mention this other series of tweets, and then we're going to speak to our second studio guest. We've had a whole series of tweets from the Crowded Hotel. And it says, "Vanilla Web and that woman."
Does he?
Oh, no, it says Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin.
The lovely Jules Serkin.
Yeah, it says, "Happy New Year to you both. We're crowd..."
Especially me.
Thank
Carry
you.
On.
"We're crowdfunding a Kent hotel, bar, restaurant and wedding event venue by offering amazing deals in return for pledges. Rewards range from discounted drinks, deals on meals, reduced rooms and cut price weddings. Anyone interested in finding out more, please follow and message us on Twitter." And that's on the Twitter at The Crowded Hotel. That's all one word, The Crowded Hotel. And what they are doing is they are trying to crowdfund, i.e. that is raise money to establish a hotel, restaurant and wedding venue in Kent. So if you want to find out more about that, follow them on the Twitter at The Crowded Hotel, and you can find out more about that. And if you want to put some money into it from a crowdfunding point of view, you depending on how much money you put in, presumably you can put small amounts up to much larger amounts, you can get some rewards for doing that. So what a good idea. So do have a look at that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
We're going to introduce our next guest.
No, we're going to play another track.
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of Tunage.
It's not
this
another
is a
one that we need leggings, is it?
For? Sorry?
Another one we need leggings for.
You ever gonna push me, baby, run, let me go. Get ready, you're gonna ready, you're gonna have a Husky from Palm Springs reporting for Embassy Sports of America. 20 seconds to the start of the 31st part of the race.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jill Serkin. That was Race by Yellow, which nicely brings us to Mr. Paul Clark. Stopwatch Hospitality, Stopwatch Management, Stopwatch all kinds of things. Hello, Paul, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for having me today, and thank you so much for playing that record. It's a long time since I've heard that.
It's a cracking little record, though, isn't it?
I've only got it on vinyl, you know, 12-inch, right. Various types of it, but I've got to get that on a download.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it for you in a minute. We'll put it on something for you.
What a gift. I've had chocolates. I've had jokes. I've had a Scottish accent.
Oh,
well,
it's
kind of.
A good
yeah,
one.
Let's not get carried away.
I'm getting a lot of tweets about it.
Yeah.
Are you?
Mm. Yeah. Mostly abuse.
Thank you for bringing the fruit in as well for Fruit Bowl Media.
Yeah, I ate the apple straight away. Mm. Paul, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about you and about the kind of things that you do?
We do four essential things. One of them is hospitality at Race Circuits. We've got our own exclusive suites at Brands Hatch and a couple at Silverstone, which most people who are not big motorsport fans, they'll have heard of Silverstone, Formula One. We also do hospitality at other circuits such as Monaco, and we do the Goodwood Festival of Speed and the Revival, where people get dressed up.
I love the Revival. I didn't go last year, but I used to go every year to the Revival.
Have you got the kit?
Yeah. I alternated between 1940s gangster.
Sorry.
Yeah. What?
No. I just know.
Shut up.
I know what you're going to look like.
Shut up.
Don't steal my line, because I've got that line.
Go on, carry on.
Go on, then. Go on.
The kit that you've got for Goodwood, is that because you're using what you used to wear, or have you been out and bought it specially? You were going to say that, Jules, weren't you?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah. No, it was my own. It was original.
He is Elizabethan, you know. Actually.
Yeah.
In addition, we do. A number of different events, things like birthday parties, and we've got our own Stopwatch children's advisor, Stephanie. That's my daughter.
Aged?
She's 8.
Oh,
and I'm waving at you now, Stephanie. She's at school, but she'll be listening on the catch-up.
Yeah.
And we do Formula One events. So when people can't watch it on the BBC, if they haven't got Sky, come along to one of our suites. We'll watch it. We've got the timing screens. We'll watch the Formula One. We've got the Twitter feed. It's great to watch it at a circuit.
Yep.
We also do some business coaching, which is to do with the psychology. What you put into your psychology comes out in the outcomes, and I've got a little thing that we can do later on if we've got time.
Sure.
And finally, driver management. I'm currently working with a superb driver, Scott Morvan, and those people who know about motorsport know that it's not talent that you need alone. You need lots of money. And almost everybody in Formula One has got there because they have been heavily backed by their families or friends of families. Yeah. And it's virtually impossible to get to Formula One, and I worry about whether we will have a future British Formula One champion in 10 or more years' time, because the talent just isn't making its way through.
I mean,
we've got Max Chilton there at the moment, who I think he's got a win ratio of about 4% of his races. This lad, Scott, is 45%, and he's a huge talent. He's won loads of awards. He can jump in any car and go quick. And it's a great way, I think, for businesses to get involved in motorsport and to get their people along to the circuit. I actually think motorsport's a bit unfair in selling your wares, because you get particularly blokes and women along to the circuit, and you get the noise, the smell, the adrenaline. And it's a bit like being in love, I think, because we've all been there, haven't we? Sort of 3 or 4 years of your life, you're in love, and then... and then it fades away. It's a chemical imbalance, isn't it? And being at a motorsport
circuit...
That's
what chocolate was invented for, darling.
Of course, and that's what we've been experiencing today. But when you're at the circuit, you've got all that adrenaline. It's a great place to sell and to network with people, potential clients and current clients. And we get quite a few people do that, bring their people along. So they're the four things we do: hospitality, events, driver management, and some business coaching.
Just, I concur with all the things you said without signing in blood. And having been there, as you know, and got dragged into that whole thing.
Dragged in.
Yes, absolutely dragged in against my better judgment.
Yeah.
The driver that you mentioned, what's he competing in at the moment?
We're looking for a race seat for him this year. The top one we're looking at the moment is the Clio Cup, which is on the British Touring Car package.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get something like 40,000 people to each race, and they're on ITV4 for 6 hours on the Sunday. And the viewing figures are tremendous for that. And we've got a proposal, and all the viewing figures are in there. And importantly, it gets a huge number of A, B, C socioeconomic groups watching it as well. So if you're after those people, they're the ones to go. You don't get Wonga.com advertising, because not many of those people watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating thing, but trackside is equally as fascinating because the sheer range of businesses, especially technology-based businesses, that are involved in motorsport in one way or another, either, you know, through sponsorship management or just through pure participation of being there as spectators, is huge. It is a massive business thing that goes on there, and you know, there are lots of opportunities.
I mean, yeah, the chairman of Wrigley's, they're a massive sponsor with the Airwaves brand in the British touring cars, and he reckons that they get a 3-to-1 return on their investment.
No, all absolutely. That chewing, you see, that's concentration, isn't it?
Well, us blokes, we need to focus.
Yeah.
You see, I was impressed with what Mandy was saying earlier, all the different things she can do.
Well,
none of them very well.
She can multitask.
Yes, I mean, for us, I wish you women could get inside a male brain once in a while, because you would see it's like a mental handicap. trying to do more than one thing.
You know, it's not
trying to change channels and listen to an instruction.
Well, just to listen, actually. I don't think Paul has ever listened to one thing I've ever said.
Sorry.
Anyway, what was that? It is interesting, and the promotional opportunities in motorsport are quite large as well, even for smaller teams. I mean, there's loads. Most people that aren't into motorsport in a big way kind of think of Formula One, maybe touring cars, and if they're really, you know, geeky, maybe GTs.
Yep.
And then that's about it. It kind of runs out after that. Mm. But there's thousands of things goes on in motorsport.
Oh, absolutely. And if you watch Formula One and you bemoan the lack of overtaking, then just come to a club event.
Yeah.
Come to Formula 4, where they've got kids just out of karts.
Yeah.
They're 16 or 17. They are brimming full of optimism. They can make that move in their head, and you get so much overtaking.
Especially in the wet.
In the wet as well. And you get the incidents as well, which we love.
Yeah.
And safety is so good in motorsport today that it's so rare that we get a serious injury or fatality, which is good. But it means that people take more risks and they do more overtaking. So, you know, I mean, we do packages from £25 and half price for kids. Just come along and see. A lot of people think hospitality is out of their league, completely out of their league, but it's not. We, you know, as I say, we do kids' birthday parties, we do business events and so on. And if people fancy coming along in the week just to have a chat and a coffee, give me a call.
Yeah. It's a nice setup you've got at Brands and Silverstone as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can have a look. We've got the, if they go onto the website, the hospitality suites are on there.
And is it all year round, Paul?
Almost. I mean, Brands Hatch, we've got the first race event this Sunday, which is a rally, and it runs all the way through to mid-November. Silverstone is more compact, and they've got higher profile events, such as MotoGP and F1. But Brands is every weekend of the year.
They used to do the winter series as well, Brands, the Formula 4 winter series in October and November. Do they still do that?
They do Formula 4 now, winter series.
Right.
Sometimes they call it the autumn series, sometimes the winter series, depending on how cold they want people to feel.
Okay, how many burgers and hot soups they want to sell. Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. The my funniest experience in terms of promotion at motorsport is I was racing sports GTs in the very first season that British GT Championship started after they abandoned Group C racing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were racing a thing called a Harrier LRC9, which was an awful car.
Do you know what? That sounds like it should come off an aircraft
carrier. Yeah, it was. It was designed by Lester Ray. In the very first series, I don't want to get too geeky about this because we haven't got the time.
No, do, please.
But when they first announced it, the cars had to be homologated, so they had to be a certain number of road cars. And Lester Ray, who's a well-known race car designer, built these road cars. They look a bit like a McLaren road car, mm-hmm. a McLaren F1 road car. And he built 10 of them, which was just enough to homologate it to race. And he sold all 10 of them as road-going cars, and immediately they were stripped out and raced. and we have one of them. The problem with it was it had a Ford Cosworth engine with twin turbochargers. We were developing 850 brake horsepower, and it weighed about the same as a paper bag. Yeah, so we couldn't keep it on the floor, so we had to put bricks in it to keep it down. Anyway, we were racing at Silverstone, and we had the Sky TV camera in the car. So the camera was over Ian. Ian was the driver. It was over Ian's shoulder, looking out at the windscreen and the steering wheel, and it had my logo in the middle of the steering wheel. Yeah, on Sky TV. Absolutely fabulously brilliant. Okay, I'm thinking this is fabulous publicity.
And what was the logo at the time?
It was Church International, which was an IT recruitment company that my now ex-wife and I owned. Anyway, that was in the centre of the steering wheel, and we were racing. And we had tons and tons of trouble with the car. And he kept coming into the pits, and we kept trying to do things, and it wasn't working and wasn't working. And he was getting more and more frustrated. And eventually he came in, swore at everybody in the pit lane. We banged it about a bit, and he shot off out of the pit lane. And at the end of the pit lane, the lights turned to let him go. He shot out at the end of the pit lane, lost control of the car, and took out the race leader sideways on as he came round.
Ooh,
yeah, which is the worst thing you can do in motorsport ever. Yeah. And the whole thing was on Sky TV with our logo smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, but you got the exposure. I mean, the TV media value.
I was going to say,
phenomenal.
The amount of reruns of that for years was unbelievable.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
Well, we need to put that link up.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable. So, yeah, anyway, enough of that. So, tell us about some of the other things you do. So, the hospitality and driver management, but you also made reference to the other kind of management consulting that you do.
Yeah, I do some work with businesses in terms of what business folk put in their psychology will affect the outcomes within their business. So we do seminars and presentations, do audits of websites and documentation. And it seems so prevalent in society, but particularly in businesses as well, to talk in the negative. And I think it comes from the way our parents have spoken to us, you know, don't run, rather than telling your children to walk.
Yeah.
And I see signs for it all over the place. Don't forget, telling you not what you shouldn't do rather than what you should do. And when we were talking earlier, an example I used is, you know, someone's at the pub, they're coming into the garden with a huge tray of drinks, someone says, well, don't spill it. And as soon as you say that, we're doing it, we're running a movie in our head of that spillage happening. And that sort of negativity can have an impact. It might be you're making a sale. It might be you're picturing how something's going to occur. And I think it makes a phenomenal difference with the way you approach your business, in the way that you communicate with your customers as well.
Sure.
How interesting. I've never thought of that, you know, don't spill it, because it's what you do, isn't it, naturally?
Well, if you think about it, your brain can't actually process a negative. Because if you think about how your brain works, it works in pictures. You kind of think about things. So if you don't do something, in order to not do it, you have to conceptualise what it is you're not doing. Exactly. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things I was saying to Paul about this earlier, when I stopped smoking like 15 years ago, the easiest way I did that was to not stop smoking. Because every time you tell yourself, I mustn't smoke, you get a picture of a cigarette in your head, which just made the craving worse. Whereas if you become a non-smoker, or you become more healthy, i.e. you put it into a positive frame, you've got a reference point that you can aim at, and you can continue to think of yourself in a positive frame without thinking about the negative.
Absolutely. Can we just do this little experiment?
Yeah, go for it.
Because I know I did this with
you
earlier.
We're going to try this.
Right, let's do it with Jules and Mandy here.
Okay, here we go.
Good.
Those of you who are on Twitter, I tweeted this out about 5 minutes ago. There are four letters on the screen, a red T, a red O, a red P, and a red S. So I'm going to ask Mandy and Jules, I'm going to point to the letters, and I'm going to ask them to say what the letter is.
T.
O.
Together? You're supposed to be doing it together.
Oh.
Come on, girls.
Teamwork, team play.
Here we go.
T.
T-O-P-S.
Right, say the word.
Tops.
And again?
Tops.
A bit louder.
Tops.
In a Scottish accent.
Tops.
And say the letters.
T-O-P-S.
T-O-P-S.
And what do you do at a green traffic light?
You stop. Oh! That's so clever. You go.
Yeah. So you proved. DVLA listening, we need to take away their licences. But what we've done there is we've got red. Red goes into your psychology.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word is actually an anagram of stop.
Yeah.
And our brain can take in about 4 or 5 conscious thoughts at any one moment, but about 2,000 subconscious thoughts. And that goes into your psychology. And it comes out in what we do, and it affects, you know, just that answer there.
Because when we were doing it, the T-O-P-S, my brain was already thinking stop.
Right.
Was already reading. That was yours, Mandy.
I was thinking, oh, it's going to be an anagram. And
yeah.
Oh, it could be spot.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if when Paul did this with me, and I was exactly the same. I did exactly the same as you guys.
Oh, good.
When he did it with me, I was almost consciously aware I was wrong as I was saying it.
Yeah.
But you were compelled to say it still.
Yeah.
There was a guy, in a presentation I did once, a guy came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, I've had that done before and I knew what the answer was and what I shouldn't say, but I still said it.
Yeah, it is really spooky, isn't it? It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. But I've worked with some drivers on it as well. Drivers, you know, for example, they may have made a bad start.
Yeah.
And all the cars come flying past them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time, mustn't make a bad start. And in their head, they're going through the movie of that bad start.
Yeah.
Rather than doing what you did with the smoking, is focusing on exactly what they need to do. And there's one driver I worked with, he had 1 week between his really bad start and when he was racing again. He had no chance to practice. And he was just practicing in his head, practicing in the car as he was driving around, even when people were talking to him.
Mm.
He wouldn't let them know he was doing it, but he was just doing the little actions with his hands and his feet, you know, clutch and throttle.
It's funny you should say that. I don't know if you guys do this, but when I was involved in motor racing, especially a new circuit, the night before the race, the driver and I used to walk the circuit and make car noises and gear change noises. We used to walk up to the corners and make gear change noises, you know, or Ian would shout the gears out. So he'd go, you know...
Yeah.
Dropping from fourth to fifth, off the accelerator, braking, up to third, out, hit the apex. And he'd actually talk himself through the corner as he walked through it.
And would you do it in a Murray Walker voice?
I would commentate as he did.
And it's
Ian Jacobs. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the things we do as well, in terms of hospitality, my view is that at the circuit, some people would take people in and they say, there's the window, that's everything happening.
Mm.
We involve people much more. We try and get people the other side of the fence. So we'll get them to meet drivers or riders. We'll take them down to the pits for a tour. If they're with us on the Friday, we'll do a track walk with them as well. We do garage tours for the British Superbikes, and we'll be doing them with the British Touring Cars as well.
Right.
So that people see behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because once you see behind the scenes, it makes such a difference.
It makes it a completely different experience. Absolutely agree.
At the Superbikes last year, we had Sam Lowes with us, who's the current world champion. And he was talking about one of the bends, Graham Hill Bend.
Mm.
And as he was talking, he hated the corner. And as he was talking about it, he grimaced going into it. And as he came out, there was this relieved look on his face.
Mm.
And I said, can you give us those faces again?
Mm-hmm.
And he did the into the corner face and the out of the corner face with the relief on. And people said afterwards that when they watched the race, they were imagining what it was like for the rider after that. And it just gives you that insight, which makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm amazed that he didn't like Graham Hill Bend, but he was fine with Paddock Hill.
Well, he loved it. It was Graham Hill because it's, you know, because it's a clockwise circuit.
Yeah.
And the tyres are heated on the right-hand side because you're constantly leaning to the right. And then Graham Hill, you're leaning to
the left.
To the left,
yeah.
And it's a bit colder and you're not sure whether it's going to stick and every time is...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. We could talk about this for a long, long time, but sadly we're running out of time, Paul.
Can I just mention one more thing?
Yeah, of course you can.
Because we've got the British Grand Prix this year, and we've got just 6 tickets left for our hospitality there. It's £1,000 plus VAT if you want to come along to that.
Per ticket, presumably.
Per ticket, yeah. It is crazy money.
Yeah, but...
The experience of it is fantastic. We've got a suite which is on the Brooklands corner.
Right.
Which is one of the best corners, I would say, at the circuit. It's so much overtaken there. It's the end of the DRS zone. So if people are interested in one of those tickets, get on the website or give me a call and we'll talk about that.
Only six tickets left.
We've got six.
So that's 3 W's dot your website?
www.stopwatchhospitality.com.
Cool.
Or just Stopwatch Hospitality in Google.
Mm. But if people can't afford, don't want to, or don't want to do the F1 thing, there are lots of other packages involved.
There's other options. Like last year, we did the F1 testing.
Right.
3 days of F1 testing, and on one of the days we had a garage tour with the Williams Formula One team,
right.
Which was tremendous. We were in there for 35 minutes right. with a tour around the garage, looking at the cars, seeing them started up, doing the practice pit stops. So if people want to come along to one of those events, they range from about £30 to about £70.
Right, there you go.
But to say, we've got other events that range, start at £18.
Cool.
It's good that stuff is affordable. That's what I like. You know, you've got the whole range there, which makes it inclusive for everyone, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed, Jules, that you've not come in your JPS skirt today, because we've not mentioned that, have we?
Skirt?
She can get it on.
I never had a JPS skirt.
Sorry,
I never had a JPS dress. It was black skinny jeans, which are back in fashion now, strangely enough. So we've gone full circle.
You did say that, but I had this image of a sort of dress and more focused on the skirt. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why either. But I will dig out the pictures. I know I said I would, but they're in a box somewhere in the loft, I think.
Get them out.
Cool. Yeah. I've got one of me and James Hunt.
Mm. In what? Wow.
Me and James Hunt.
Drive up with rhyming slang.
Not in a dress. James Hunt was not in a dress.
Cool. Look, thank you for that, Paul. It's an absolute pleasure. And thank you for joining us. And sorry we've kind of run out of time to talk about it further, because we'd love to talk about it some more. So maybe we'll get you back on later on in the season, once the season's underway, and we'll talk some more about it.
After you've come to the circuit.
You can go with our roving mic.
Yeah,
we need to get you and Jules down to the circuit our guest.
I have managed to stay away. I have managed to stay away from motor racing circuits for over 10 years now. And it's taken me a lot to drag me back.
It is my challenge to get you guys down there.
You do know that the only time I ever drove round Brands Hatch in my Lotus Esprit for JPS, I went round the wrong way completely. And all these men were waving flags at me. And I was going...
Kel surprise.
And I was waving at them going, yeah, they're waving at me.
Who'd have thunk it?
It's quite nice going the wrong way round.
Yeah, sure.
Didn't make any difference.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we might still hold the... lap record for the Indy circuit, actually, for Formula 3, I think. 44.
Who's we? The Royal we?
No, when I had a racing team. We were 1:14, 1 minute 14.
It's time to go and beat that record, Paul Andrews.
Anyway. It must be less than 1 minute 14. It would be more like 52 seconds.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not the way you drove.
I didn't drive. Cool. Okay. I got an email here. It's a bit convoluted, this, but I want to tell you about it. Kent PEPS is a network of parents and carers in Kent who have children with additional needs and disabilities, and we aim to actively involve parents in planning and making decisions about services for the children, young people and families. We enable parents, carers to make their views known to service providers. We do parent presentations, surveys and consultations, and we do disability parent partnership events. We represent parent and carers' views at decision-making boards, and we give feedback on meetings that we attend. Kent PEPS is an independent and is a member of the National Network of Parent Carers Forums, supported by Contact a Family. Now, Kent PEPS are about to change their name, and they're going to change their name to the Kent Parent Carer Forum, KPCF, the Kent Parent Carer Forum, and they have a launch event at the International House in Ashford, which is opposite the... Ashford International Railway Station on the 22nd of January. And they say, the more parents that hear about us, the more we can help. We have a website, which is www.kentpeps.co.uk. We've got a new domain that will be under a new name once we've launched it. And they have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/groups/KentPeps CIC, all one word, KentPeps CIC. And then we have several other pages. But if you want to find out more about what was called Kent PEPS and is shortly to be renamed Kent Parent Carer Forum, you can find out by emailing them at info@kentpeps.co.uk, or you can phone them on 07526 130052. We will put links to all of those organisations on the Kent Business Radio website. And unfortunately, we can't get along to the launch event, We were invited, but I can't make it. But after they've launched on the 22nd of January, I will give you some updated information about them and their new website addresses and so on and so forth. We've had a bazillion tweets that I've missed out on. Some of them are a bit old now, in terms of they are relating to things that we were talking about earlier. And Beaujolais Boy says, get a grip, this is your show, Paul. Tell Jules to calm down and open another bottle.
Quite yes, right, thank mate. You, Beaujolais Boy.
Yeah.
I'm just having another macaroon.
Are you?
Yes.
Adrian from AK Pet Services says, Happy New Year to you, all you guys. And I'm listening to the show today, so thank you for that.
But has he
Adrian.
Got a Paris on his shoulder? He hasn't
He
said.
Doesn't mention Samson.
He doesn't.
He
no.
doesn't, no. Ven and Tech are listening in, which I think you mentioned already.
They've probably
and
got a
James
snake.
Gardner of Component Force is also listening in. And yep. I think you mentioned James as
I
well,
did.
Didn't you? Go on.
There's one here, Dear Paul. There's mm-hmm. no mention of me.
Good.
Our next workshop for creative professionals is creating and delivering an effective plan for your creative business. This is Friday the 24th of January, 9:30 to 12:30 at the Learning Lab, 18 High Street in Canterbury. And they say that we've stressed many times at Kent Creative Live how important it is to have a clear goal and an idea of where you want to go. And that's all it is. Planning puts you in control. It makes things easier, more reassuring and more comfortable. Bill Fox, the business coach from the Kent Business Academy, will help you write your plan and define your idea, portfolio and business, set achievable objectives and goals and get the financial forecasting right. The price is just £20 for members and £25 for non-member. And it's a chance to learn from specialist speakers. So you need to go on to www.kentcreativelive.org and look on the workshops there for 24th of January. Well done. That's a great one.
I've got a tweet. I've got to read this out because it just made me smile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Sarah, someone or other, who says, someone's been saying nasty things about you on Twitter. Have a look here.
Oh, God.
I think that's spam, don't you?
I think
you?
It might be,
yeah.
Yes.
Richard, if you remember earlier, Richard from Artorblow Photography,
oh, yeah.
who had a boiler problem, he's yeah. just tweeted to say the boiler's fixed.
Oh, did Samson Gas come
the,
round?
Yeah, the boiler's fixed, and he's now listening to the end of the show while drinking tea and eating bagels.
Well, did he have to get his boiler fixed to listen to the show? I don't understand. I normally listen on an iPhone.
Do you?
Not my boiler.
Do you not listen on your boiler?
No, I don't.
Well, it's an easy way of listening on your boiler.
Well.
Beaujolais Boy has sent me a link to a video.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's £1 fish video, and it says, cop this, Barra Boy.
That's
nice, nice one, Ian. That's Beaujolais Boy from Liquid Pleasure in Tenterson High Street there.
And JM at Square Frames, who you say are in Whitstable, say, great show, really enjoying it. Hello to everyone. So
yeah, we
to
mentioned
you.
Square Frames earlier,
well,
didn't
I
we?
Well, I want to annoy them. I'm going to go in and ask for an oval frame.
Are you? Really?
Yeah.
I've got loads more stand numbers for the
BTV
South East.
I love this that people send in.
Funnily enough, we've got Butmore Park, the cartoon people,
okay.
who are on stand number 12. We have Scales underscore UK, that's a Twitter handle, who are on stand number 112. And we have Reeves & Co., the South East based accountants, who are on
yep.
stand 99. Well, I wonder if there's a flake with that.
Don't know. Don't know. There must be.
Maybe, I hope so.
Maybe a Taywell ice cream and a flake.
Yeah, it could be.
Mm.
Go.
Smarter working, Paul Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Why business coaching will benefit your company. Tuesday the 14th of January, so that's next Tuesday, Base Point Business Centre in Springhead Road, which is in Northfleet, United Kingdom. It's in the United Kingdom, Paul.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's Northfleet in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
All
I
details
thought,
of this.
I thought Northfleet was in Dartford.
I thought it was a fleet of taxis. All details will be
Can
on
you
the
do a Northfleet accent?
No.
No.
What is it?
I don't know.
How is it?
I don't know.
Is it like Northfleet?
I don't know.
Might be like that.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't
all.
Know. It might be Elizabethan.
I don't think so.
You know where my dad is? He's gone to this nursing home. It's called Cook's Ditch Nursing Home. It's
Cook's Ditch.
I sort of have this sort of vision of some fat cook falling in the ditch after
yeah,
a few
yeah.
too many sherries.
Yeah, yeah.
I love these old names.
Yeah, yeah.
All details of everything we read out will be on the Kent Business Show, Bunker Show website.
It'll be on the website, actually.
Yeah.
It won't be on the show.
KentBusinessRadio.co.uk.
UK.
Yeah. Do you know what?
What?
I've got a terrible sugar rush.
Have you?
I had so much sugar.
It'll be the 300... pounds of chocolate that you've eaten this morning.
On a Superior Show.
You haven't even eaten your boiled egg yet, have you?
No. I've got to say who's on my show next week. On
Scott and Quaff.
Yeah. Richard Phillips, the TV chef, is on.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to have my hair done.
Are you?
What
by Richard? What's he going to do it with a colander and a set of kitchen knives? Probably, go for it, Richard.
Probably. Oh, did you see my finger? Took him a kitchen knife.
Yeah, I did it as well. Look.
No, look. Yeah. Terrible what happened over Christmas. Got scars all over me. And Mr. Andrew's got a plaster on. One application to enter three prestigious awards here. Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, Kent Excellence in Business Awards, and the British Chambers of Commerce National Awards. Is your business doing well and are you proud of what you've achieved? Why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award? So you can enter these awards. It needs to be, well, the gala is on the Wednesday, the 26th of March at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge. And you need to apply now and join in promoting business excellence in Kent. It's open to all Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce members, as well as non-members and companies that are based in Kent. And you need to get your application in by the 21st of February. Is that Pancake Day? Sure, that's 24th, isn't it? Shrove Tuesday.
I don't know.
It's all I just think of everything in terms
of... In terms of food, yeah.
21st of February. Toss your application in there. Any further questions, 01233 503 838, or email amanda@kentinvictachamber.co.uk, and we will put details of that on the Kent Business website after the show.
Cool. Creative Motion, Justin has tweeted about the award winner, Sally for Cakes, and he has said, as part of the prize terms and conditions, cake is a requirement. So, sorry, Sally, you've got to provide some cake as well.
sorry, I've just seen the stopwatch. I've just put this really funny thing on. They're talking about eating all the chocolates, and they've put this picture, eat more, fat people are harder to kidnap. I love that.
Which is why you're still here, Jules.
Yes. Yes, nobody would ever want to kidnap me.
Oh, I got away with that.
I know. Well, my new husband's been trying to get rid of me for quite some years.
Val Witter of I54 New Media is listening to the show and says hi.
Val Witter on the Twitter.
Val Witter on the Twitter. And we've had Sarah Selby Bird, who says, Vanilla Web, thank you from Kent Peps. The shout out on your show is fantastic. We're loving the Business Bunker. So it's an absolute pleasure, Sarah. And as I said when I read it out, we will give an update on that once the name change has gone through and the new website is up and running. Have you got any more emails to read?
Here's one, yes. Become a professional clinical hypnotherapist. Are you in the room? Are you in the room? 3, 2, 1. You're back in the room. Did you know that hypnotherapy, Paul, is one of the fastest growing therapies? Paul's, in fact, this is the Paul's show. I've got two Paul's in here. Mm-hmm. Fastest growing therapies in the UK. And did you know that you can train to be a hypnotherapist in just 6 months?
Sorry. Oh, I just seen a tweet. Chris Pollard has offered to kidnap you.
Kidnap me?
Yeah.
Well, he's offered us lunch at Brands Hatch, by the way. And I said, does that include Prosecco? Yeah, he said to the other Paul, the more important Paul on my left, that if he can get us down there, Chris Pollard will buy the lunch. And I said, does that include Prosecco?
Right.
Because you get dry, don't you, when you're eating?
We've got 3 minutes left, so get on with it.
Okay, details of how to be a clinical hypnotherapist, www.britishschoolofappliedpsychology.com.
Cool. We've had Bee Halling has tweeted, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, nice to have you back. Really enjoying the show. Thank you so much from Bee Halling. And you can find out more about what she does by going to her website, which is stepbystep-onlinemarketing.com. That's stepbystep, all one word, -onlinemarketing.com. Thank you for that, Bee. I've got an email here from Spitfire Networking. Get the new year off to a running start with Spitfire Networking. 2 hours of casual networking with local professionals on Thursday, the 9th of January. That will be this Thursday. Lunch is included, and it's 12 to 2pm. It's £5 a person. That includes the cost of lunch. And it's at the Kings Hill Golf Club, Fortune Way, Kings Hill, near Westmorling. And that is supported and sponsored by Core Financial Services. And they host this not-for-profit networking event. And if you'd like to find out more about Core Financial Services or Spitfire Networking, you can contact them by emailing info at coreifa, that's coreifa.co.uk, or you can call them on 0844 875 5777. The contact details for Core IFA can be found on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website.
There's a January 23rd, 6 to 9pm, Kent Conference Wardroom, Pembroke, University of Greenwich. There's a thing going on there. Are you prepared for growth? Are you ready to act? Looking at SMEs and startups, and they're going to give you ideas, invaluable stuff here. So that's 3Ws Eventbrite. We'll put details of that on the Kent Business website after the show. Cool. And also Business Community Breakfast. It's Neil Cripps of the NatWest Bank as the speaker. And this is the 9th of January, so that's coming up. And you need to go on to a booking for your breakfast, 3Ws.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And that's from the fabulous Ken Wheeler.
Cool. Just a few other stand numbers to read out for the B2B Southeast show on the 24th of January at the Effingham Park Hotel. We have on stand 51, Telcare Limited, and on stand number 7, Boom Solutions UK. We have Rocket Mill on stand 103 and business_docs, that's a Twitter handle, business_docs, D-O-C-S, on stand 97. So come along and say hi to all of those. There's also three free seminars happening on the day. There's QJ doing a seminar on passion and rockstar business.
With his funky boots.
With his funky boots, yeah. There's also the fabulous Susanna from Dice Matrix, who is also she's also managing director of Royal Mail Courier Services. And Susanna is also a business author, and she is doing a presentation on how to grow your business.
Excellent.
And that is really, really worth listening to. And then we have Dr. Dave Francis from Brighton University doing a case study on fish and chips. Would you believe?
Fish and chips.
He's doing a business case study on a successful fish and chip shop. I tell you, it's a really fascinating thing to go and hear. Those three seminars are on the 24th of January at the Effingham Park Business to Business Southeast show, and they are all free to attend. You just rock up and go in and listen to them. I want to tell you one last thing before we're off the air. The KDCS, that's the Kent Deaf Children's Society, come and join us and for the Skills and Drills Deaf Children's Football Club at Whitstable Community College Sports Hall. And the first session starts next Monday, the 13th of January, from 5.30 to 6.30pm. And it's for deaf children aged 5 to 12 years. It's £1.50 a child. Siblings are welcome as long as they're in the same age range, 5 to 12. To book your place or inquire about further dates and times on future sessions, please contact Johan on 07557 334 347, or you can email office@kdcs.org. That's office@kdcs.org. All those details are on the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website. And we have run out of time, so it just leaves me to say a massive thank you for listening to the Business Bunker show. Coming up later today, we have Kevin Cann show at 3 o'clock. We have the latest favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, at 5 o'clock.
Q4
then Jamie Andrews with New Potato Show at 9. Thank you for listening to the Business Bunker show. I've been Paul Andrews. She's been Jill Serkin. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.